Let's pray for the Lord's blessing on the reading and preaching of His Word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You this morning and we ask that You would give us eyes to see and ears to hear of the glorious riches of Your grace that are bestowed upon us in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that You would empower us by the life of our Savior to serve You as You have called us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 at verse 4. Ephesians chapter 6 at verse 4. Hear now the word of our God from Ephesians chapter 6, and we'll just read verse 4. Hear now the word of our God. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, this Sunday happens to be Father's Day. And since we looked at the role of mothers on Mother's Day, we better not let the fathers get a pass. We better give them the sledgehammer as well. And that's what we're going to do. Here in Ephesians chapter 6, we are in the service part of the book of Ephesians. The first half of it is the salvation part. Here is the service part of the book, or we might say the application of gospel principles into daily life. And before this verse, you have instruction on marriage, that husbands are to love their wives and wives are to respect their husbands. And then instruction is also given to children to obey and honor their parents. And now in verse 4, we have instruction given specifically to fathers. This instruction does carry over to mothers as well. However, fathers are specifically pointed out here because it is the father's responsibility to make sure that what is commanded by the Lord is what is done in the home. The buck stops with the father. And he is the one that is directly responsible and accountable to God for the instruction and discipline that is given to their children. And to specifically the fathers, but parents in general, we are given a warning and a couple of instructions in this passage. Now, for the points in the sermon, you'll notice in the very first point that I have in the bulletin, I say that there are three warnings that are given. Paul only gives one warning here in Ephesians. However, this one warning can be applied in three different ways. And so there's really three applications of this one warning. And so that's what I mean by three warnings. And let's look at that now. Paul gives the warning, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. This is a very broad warning that does cover quite a bit of ground. But as you look at Scripture, you look at the fifth commandment, for example, you look at other instructions given in the law of Moses, you look at the wisdom literature, Proverbs primarily, you look at how God deals with Israel, His child, His children, in the narrative sections of the Old Testament. You look at how God the Father speaks to His children in the prophets. You see how He speaks through Jesus to His children in the Gospels, and in Acts, and in the Epistles. What do we gain a lot of wisdom there about how God intends for fathers to be fathers. We understand more fully what Paul means here by "don't provoke your children to wrath." There are, essentially, we could boil it down to what we learn from all of Scripture into three observations. 3 points, 3 warnings, 3 ways that children can get angry, get wrathful in their hearts against their parents and therefore against the God of their parents. Remember, bitterness and anger and wrath and hatred, those are not fruit of the Spirit. I think you all know that. Wrath is not something that we want to sow in the hearts of our children. These are not things we want to produce in them. We want to cultivate in them love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. But Paul is saying here there are ways that we can cultivate in our children the opposite of those things. And there are in Scripture essentially 3 ways that we could achieve that. And these 3 things can be easily observed in the world as well. First, by not disciplining our children at all or not enough. Meaning correcting our children, teaching them to hate evil and love good. Second way that we can do it, that we can provoke our children to wrath, is by disciplining in an abusive way. And third, being inconsistent or moody in our discipline. So first, let's look at how we can sow the seeds of wrath in our children by not disciplining our children enough. This is a very clear emphasis in Scripture. And I think in some ways it is a bit comforting to us, because as you look at the history of God's people throughout biblical history, you see, things have not changed that much since then. All you have to do is look at Eli, or Samuel, or David, and how they dealt with their children, and what did they not do? They did not discipline their children. And those children, in turn, hated God, and at some points hated their parents. Wrathful is the way to describe them. I find it interesting that Paul uses the word to provoke to wrath here, because what is characteristic in every single human heart from conception? What characteristic is natural to sinful, fallen human kind? It isn't love. It isn't joy. Sure, maybe happiness in a certain measure. But wrath is already there. The angry cry does not have to be taught. Anyone that's had a child knows what that is. It just bursts forth out of them. Wrath is already in there. It is inherent in our nature. Real discipline, then, leads the child away from that wrath and leads them to the joy of the Lord. Leads them to Christ. Only Christ can give our child real, true joy and love. But God has given us the privilege of disciplining our children so that they turn away from the wrath that is inside them to be filled with the joy of the Lord. Think of it this way. If sin only ever destroys, and you let your child continue in sin, apart from the intervening grace of God, of course, they are going to be stuck in a downward spiral of sin, anger, and wrath. That is what you see in the world all around us. All you have to do is look at many children that come from broken homes where they haven't been able to receive good discipline. And by discipline, I don't just mean punishment, but I mean encouragement too. Where they haven't been disciplined to hate evil and love good, to follow God. Where they haven't had that instruction. What happens to those children? Many, many times. Unless God intervenes in their life, those children continue in a downward spiral of bad decision after bad decision. We wonder why there's so many people today who just make... We look at it and we go, how could you do that? You know that's going to destroy you. You know that's going to destroy the relationships you have with other people. You know that's going to do that. Why would you do it? And the thing is, they know it too. But they still do it. Why? Because they're stuck. They're stuck in the downward spiral of sin. And that is where we would all be if it were not for the grace of God. That is where we'll leave our children if we do not discipline them and lead them to Christ. Now, as fathers and parents, not only can we provoke our children to wrath because we didn't discipline, but we can also provoke them to wrath because we are abusive with our discipline. And by abusive, I don't just mean physically abusive, but also emotionally abusive or verbally abusive. We can provoke our children to wrath if we are manipulative to them rather than just corrective. If we're just simply trying to play mind games with them all the time, rather than actually seeking to love them and shepherd them. We can also provoke our children if the punishment that we give does not fit the crime. That is also abuse. It is abuse of the power that God has given to us. And it is an abuse to our children. Not every wrong our child does warrants the same punishment. We see this even with how God parents His children in the Bible. The first time the Israelites mess up, which isn't very long, right? That's like a few days after they crossed the Red Sea, right? Doesn't take long for them to start grumbling and complaining. God doesn't immediately say, all right, exile, off you go, done with you. No, the Lord doesn't immediately go to the ultimate punishment. He uses a lot of different tools to try to bring his children and correct them, right? Either by giving them a little bit of oppression from neighboring countries around them, the Philistines, for example, and a lot of the other ones too, Midianites, and go down the list, right? But never lets them be completely overcome. Or famine, or drought, or locusts. Lots of other things the Lord uses to correct his children, to bring them back in line. And also, when they are following him, the Lord blesses, richly blesses his people. We see this measured approach with how God disciplines us, his children. And that is an example that we should follow. The punishment should fit the crime. If we don't do that, then we are going to provoke our children to wrath. And finally, the third way we can provoke our children to wrath is by being inconsistent. One of the great statements about God made in the Old Testament is in Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, where the Lord says, "For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob." Which has a lot of application for us. But for our purposes this morning, it is helpful for us to see that the Lord does not change in his feelings for us. He does not change in his attitude toward us. He does not change in the way that he deals with us or in the way that he disciplines us. So there's a lesson for us there as well. We have to try to be as consistent as possible with our discipline. Not just based on how we're feeling that day, but based on the facts of the child's behavior and the course of discipline that we have already laid out for them. It should be clear to our children that they know when they have done something wrong, this will be the punishment. It should not be that our child got away with hitting their sibling one day because we just didn't want to deal with it, and the next day, because we're having a bad day, we see our child slug his brother or sister. I don't know why I said his or her. Not just boys do that. And then we go way off the deep end and say, "Well, you're grounded for a month." Well, I just did the same thing yesterday and I didn't get anything, and now I do the same thing today and now I'm grounded for a month. How's that fair? God told the Israelites in the wilderness at Mount Sinai, "This is the law. If you break it, this is what's going to happen. If you keep it, this is how I will bless you." We have to do the same thing with our parenting as well. Our children should know where the line is, and when they cross it, this is what's going to happen. And we should be willing to give lots of warnings as well. The Lord was very patient with Israel. He's very patient with us. And he gave Israel and he gives us lots of warnings. We need to be consistent, or else we will cause our children to be provoked to wrath. Now, there's also two instructions that Paul gives to fathers and parents here. And these two instructions here that Paul gives, they help us understand what Paul means by not provoking our children to wrath. For he says that we are to bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. training and admonition are really two sides of the same coin. Training has to do with that corrective aspect, and admonition has to do more with the teaching side of things. It is not as simple as that, but you can think of it mostly as teaching your children how to think, admonition, and how to act, training. There's a lot of overlap between those two words, especially in Greek, but it's helpful, I think, to think of it in that way, that we are teaching our children how to think, and we're also teaching our children how to act. And in teaching them how to think and how to act, we also have to be prayerful that the Lord would work in their hearts, because we can't do that. We can give them the knowledge, we can teach them the way to live their lives, but we can't change the heart. We have to be prayerful that the Lord would do that. Now, these two instructions are very important in combination with godly discipline. Because fathers, we are equipping our children to serve the Lord, to glorify Him and enjoy Him forever. Now, as I say that, we of course cannot lose sight, as I said, we cannot lose sight of the fact that we can lead the horse to water, but we can't make them drink. We can teach them all the things that they need to know about how to walk before the face of the Lord, but we can't change their heart. But we are called by God to equip our children to do that. We can teach them all the right doctrine, set a good example on how to live, correct them, discipline them, and yet unless the Holy Spirit works in their hearts, they will rebel against it. Either a hard rebellion or a soft rebellion, and I think you know what I mean by that. But God is pleased to use us fathers to bring our children to Himself. Not ultimately, but as a means through which He is working to draw our children to Himself. God designed and created the family and is now pleased to work through the family. He always has been. He created the family and has always worked through the family. Now, of course, God does, in His grace, come upon people that come from non-Christian homes, broken homes. And God, in His intervening grace, comes and plucks out a sheep and draws them to Himself. God does that many, many times. And what does that do? That showcases the power of God. But what else showcases the power of God? God working in the midst of the family to bring up generation after generation of Christians. That also displays just as powerfully God's grace. We maybe not think so. We maybe think, well, you know, if I had a Damascus Road conversion experience, that's really the pinnacle. That would really be amazing, you know. God just working in the ordinary home, that just seems so mundane, so usual, so just normal. But we have to remember that any heart that is changed entirely by the grace of God. And as we think about all the sin that is in our families, no matter how diligently we seek to do the things of God, our families are still very often a mess. My children are going to grow up and they're going to look at the things that me and my wife do and they're going to say, oh, why did they do that? That was way off base. And you can look back at your parents and say, well, why did they do that? That wasn't anywhere near close to what was really helpful to me or what I really needed. And yet God still worked. And He still works. That's the beauty of the power of the grace of God. in our homes and in our families. In the context of the Christian family, God is pleased to use fathers and mothers too, but it's Father's Day, so I'm focusing on the fathers. But God is pleased to use fathers to bring our covenant children closer to Him in powerful ways. When the father disciplines in a godly way, he's teaching his children diligently the whole Word of God and gives them correction, both positive and negative, and wisdom. And he's giving his children the greatest gift a father could give. Your children don't need the next big toy. Your children don't need to eat fancy food. They don't really appreciate it anyway. Your children don't need to have this big extravagant house and nice yard and all these things. Your children don't need that. No, you don't. You don't need it. What do our children need? What is the best thing that we as fathers could give them? We could lead them to Christ and teach them how their sins can be forgiven. That is the greatest thing we could teach our children. Teach them how to read their Bibles, how to understand the gospel, and to pray to the Lord and seek the forgiveness that only He can provide. That is the greatest thing that we as fathers, the greatest gift that we could give to our children. Yes, we can't change their heart. Yes, we can't give them faith. Only God can do that. But we can and are called to give them the knowledge and the instruction to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. We are called by God to instruct our children on how they may glorify God and enjoy Him forever. What greater gift could we give to our children than that? I dare you to think of anything that could be greater. There is nothing. For what is this life? What can man give in exchange for his own soul? What is this life? Do we want our children to have their best life now? Or do we want our children to have their best life in the one to come? And this leads us to the final point, the one example that we as fathers are to imitate. God the Father is always drawing us in. He's drawing us close to Himself in love. And we as fathers need to do the same thing. We need to draw our children in. We need to keep them close to our hearts. We need to show them our warm affection for them. We need to teach them and show them how much we love them and care for them. Not let them question it or wonder it, even for a moment. God never lets us do that. You read through the Scriptures, and you read through a very difficult part where the Lord is pointing out sin, 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 sin. But does He ever just stop there? He might go on for a long time, but where does the Lord always lead us? He always leads us to the forgiveness that we can have. And He always reminds us of His love. And that is what we as fathers need to be doing as well. But all importantly, as we think of this example, the Father is always drawing us in. And we as fathers are to draw our children in. But I want us to be careful with that. Because there's a danger. There's a temptation. There's a temptation to draw our children in. And yet, not really love them. I'll say it in another way. We can love our children and draw them into ourselves and lead them to God. But we can also draw them in and lead them to ourselves. You understand? We can make our children our idols. And we can say the whole goal and point of me drawing you in and loving you and disciplining you and teaching you and all these things is for myself. It's because I want to have this close, tight-knit family, and that's all-consuming to me. That's all I want. That's the end goal of everything that I'm doing. And that cannot be the whole point of our drawing our children in love and disciplining them and correcting them and teaching them. The whole point of all of that must be to lead them to God. To lead them to the Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ. That must be the ultimate goal. If it isn't, we might see what happens a lot these days, where we see quite a few families that are close, tight-knit, and yet, one by one, sibling by sibling, walk away from the church and walk away from the Lord. Brothers and sisters, our goal in life must always be to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. And we as fathers are given this high and lofty goal to showcase for our children the love of the Father and Jesus Christ, to be an example to them of what that looks like. That's a big calling. It should humble us all deeply and should remind us of how inadequate we are to do that in and of ourselves. But let us always rest on the grace of God, that He would work through us as He has called us and promised. Let us rest in Him. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You this morning having heard Your word. And we pray that You would work mightily in our families. Cause Your Spirit to draw us closer to Yourself through Your word, that we may worship You every day, not just today, not just on Sundays, but every day in spirit and in truth. Heavenly Father, be with all the fathers of this congregation. We need Your grace to work in us and through us for the benefit of our children. Help us, Heavenly Father, to lead our children to Christ and to yourself, that they may have that eternal life if they do not have it already. And we pray, Lord, that we would be instruments in your hands to teach our children how to walk before your face in righteousness and holiness. And may our goal ever be the glory of your name. We know our sins, Heavenly Father, our failings as fathers and as parents and as children, and pray that you would forgive us, wash us clean in the blood of Christ, and give us the grace that we need in the time that we need it. We believe, Heavenly Father, help our unbelief and draw us closer to yourself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.